Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And so we wait. Here in New York, we wait in our homes for information about what to do next, for a sign that this fever is breaking, for bad news about people we love. In other parts of the country, I suspect people are waiting to see what's going to happen in their towns. Will it be as bad? Will we be spared? Will I get my job back? There are so many unanswerable questions. And given that so many of us are stuck in our homes, all most of us can do is wait it out. So in this episode, we're going to play something like a waiting game. It's this thing one of our reporters does when she's trying to get to know people, like know them. And I figure a lot of our relationships are going to be deepened and maybe challenged by all of this stressful waiting around together. I know I will take any help I can get. I'm Kai Wright, and this is the United States in Anxiety. A couple episodes ago, you heard from our reporter, Jenny Casas, who was rushing back to her community in Chicago.
Do you want to know how fast I'm driving right now?
How fast are you going?
I'm just kidding. I can't tell you. It's too fast to say on air.
Slow down. Slow down. Jenny was drawn back to Chicago by the relationships she has there. Those were the people she wanted to be with as she waits.
And all this waiting has been making me think about this list of questions.
Huh.
Or it's a poem, actually. And it's called 45 Questions to Ask While Waiting.
45 Questions to Ask While Waiting. All right, that's a lot of questions.
Yes, it's quite a lot of questions. And it was introduced to me last summer. It was like a beautiful Chicago evening. I was out by the lake. I was having beers with some friends. New friends, old friends, and somebody pulled up this poem, and we all just started asking each other these questions, these 45 questions around the circle, and it was so intimate and so straight to the heart of the matter. And after that, I pulled up this list of questions all the time in any social situation where I was trying to get to know the people around me better.
You've definitely, as one of your friends, I've definitely heard of this list.
Yes, it was your birthday.
You remember?
Yes.
I mean, there was a time over the summer, I think, that you were just like, let's answer these questions.
I just remember it was like a question I didn't want to answer. Like, oh, that's just too much.
So at this point, like I you sold me. I really want to know, what are these questions? What are these magic questions that get to the gut of us?
I think a crowd pleaser, number six. If you could punch one person in the face, who would it be?
Oh my goodness.
Number five is also one of my favorites. What is the cruelest thing you have done in love?
I'm getting a sense of a tone here.
Number 17, what is a shame you have learned to live with? But then there's also like these questions that are pretty easy, but like I think could mean more. Like number 40, how many days has it been since you changed the bedclothes, like your sheets?
So I have a lot of questions about this, these questions. First off, it's a poem. Whose poem is this?
Okay, so the poem was written by this Chicago artist, activist, and educator named Benji Hart.
Hello.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. So I first saw these questions on Benji's old blog.
Rad Fag, which is short for Radical Faggot, is a personal blog that I began in 2011.
At the time, he was a middle school teacher posting creative writing about radical education politics. And a couple of years ago, he wrote this poem. And it has two main inspirations. The first one was this other list of questions written by a law professor named Dean Spade.
Specifically, like questions about being a workaholic and about sort of questioning your relationship to work.
Questions like, do you resent Facebook? Or like, do you know how to have fun?
Okay. But when I read it, I was like, wow, that is like the best poem I've read in a really long time.
But the second inspiration for Benji, which will give you a sense of the ethos of it all, was that
I was going through or healing from a really bad breakup. And I think that's originally what waiting meant for me. 45 questions while waiting, I think meant I'm in a period where I'm in a lot of pain and I'm working on myself, I'm working on healing, and like the fruits of that labor have not yet emerged and probably aren't going to emerge in a long time. And while I wait for that process to see itself through, what are the questions that I'm in the midst of asking?
What made you think of this right now?
I think it's just the fact that we are all sort of saturated right now in conversation. Like, I know for me, I'm texting a lot of people that I wouldn't be texting otherwise, or having a million Zoom calls. Or
so much more than I ever would be doing normally, I'll be honest. I'm a lot more social than I was now that I'm social distanced.
And I think about this list because it helps us, or like the questions on the list are the types of questions, like it's the stuff of building a foundation with a person. They just get straight to the point, which is why I really like them in the first place. I mean, you know me.
Which is very to your, yes, this is very much your personality. So I'm getting a picture.
Yeah. And because our relationships are changing, maybe forever under this new context, and because these questions for me are so good at building intimacy, I wanted to revisit them with some of my sweet friends. Number 36. Which aspect of your character makes you difficult to live with?
Oh.
Number 33.
33.
Which question do you wish someone would ask you? Number 24. Can you name a time you were least proud of yourself?
Wow, really hitting me with that one. Damn.
These are hard questions.
Yeah, just had to deal with my heart dropping into my pelvic floor.
These questions always surface a lot of things that I think maybe we aren't predisposed to just share out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Number 37. What gut reaction are you purposefully ignoring?
Ooh. I think it's like the gut reaction just to snap. Like, we all reach our limits. And I have definitely felt at different points in this pandemic and in this week alone, even today, like I've reached my limit. And since there's no escape, right? There's no distancing, no distancing from like who you live with, you know, really. And so that snap to just be like, you're asking me to still be here with you. I'm like, I have to hold that back. There's another option.
There's some stuff that came up that I probably wouldn't have known otherwise. Number 20. What hypocrisy in yourself have you yet to amend?
I don't know. I guess I love the idea and the concept of what it is to be a human being, but I generally don't like people. Generally speaking, as a whole, I don't like people at all.
That's the last thing I thought you were going to say.
I was having physical responses hearing those, to be honest. Like, you know, like I could feel it in my body. Like, oh, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to talk to you about that.
That's so funny. Yeah, I mean, like some people really don't feel great about them.
I thought about texting you beforehand and being like, hey, is there any way to make sure that like these questions aren't asked? There's just like so much stuff there. And it's like a lot to put on someone.
Number 3. When was the last time you cried over something that later seemed silly?
Oh. Well, just last week, I was bawling because I was thinking about, yeah, everyone I know could die. Or maybe not everybody, but many of them. And even if not many of them, one of them. I think the only way that I got out of that feeling, which was like multiple days of feeling that way, well, one, I decided to work 12 hours straight, which, I mean, it worked. But then I think after I finished the work, I was like, it's just out of my control. Mm-hmm. And so I think that crying that everyone I know could die will take time away from the time I have with everyone.
Number 34, what terrible truth could everyone find out?
That I'm not always looking out for the collective immune system. That the first chance I get, I'm going to drink and smoke and take whatever drug is in front of me.
Because, of course, 45 questions isn't enough, I added a question.
You tampered with this man's poem?
Yeah.
That's next.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.
I added a question to the list. Can I ask it to you?
Absolutely.
What are you waiting for?
I think it's a great question because it's at the heart of healing for me. The breakup that in some ways inspired this poem happened for me almost 4 years ago. And I'm still healing from it and I'm still processing it in a lot of ways. And a revelation that I had really this week was that the grief that I feel around the loss of that relationship is actually not going anywhere. Healing doesn't mean that grief is over. And what does it mean to make peace with that loss instead of imagining that healing is when it no longer feels like a loss or it no longer feels sad or it no longer hurts? I think as an activist and an organizer, I spend so much time thinking about the world after this one. I spend so much time thinking about what is coming or what is going to happen or what are we trying to make happen. And I'm a part of communities that are losing people all the time, and we're losing people all the time before this virus swept the planet. And I think I've had a hard time grieving because I'm already so full of grief, and I don't know what to do with this new crisis. That's what comes up for me when you talk about sort of like what comes up first. I'm like, oh, I'm waiting to feel less grief. And I'm waiting for a world, which in some ways we've had a glimpse into this week, where all of a sudden we're talking about guaranteed minimum income and we're talking about moratoriums on evictions and on arrests and, you know, things that should have happened long before a pandemic made them happen. But that being said, While I feel like I'm waiting for that vision of the world, the focus on what is to come is what robs you of what is in front of you. And so often it's what's in front of you that has the most to teach you, which I think is another irony of this list.
Maybe that's why the title is so brilliant, because like maybe the point is to make us not wait anymore.
I hadn't thought of it that way until you asked that question. But I'm like, oh yeah, all these questions are actually about grounding yourself in the present.
You can read the full 45 questions to ask while waiting on radfag.com or on our website at wnycstudios.org/anxiety.
One, which part of your body aches most by evening? Two, where is the least visited corner in your home? Three, when was the last time you cried over something that later seemed silly? Four, when piling things on the floor, how do you arrange them?
United States of Anxiety is a production of WNYC Studios.
Special thanks to the sweeties who answered these questions, Ari Mejia, Leo Williams, Zili Rowe Sarkala, Chandra Christmas Rouse, Kai Thomas, Justin Williams, Dan Rowell, Irissa Apantaku, Sebastian Hidalgo, W.D. Floyd, Kimberly Springer, Elena Jane Hakes, Remy Franklin, and Andrea Hart.
This episode was produced by Jenny Casas and Vera Lynn Williams. The episode was edited by Marianne McCune. Our executive producer is Karen Froman. Casey Means is our technical director. And our team also includes Emily Botine, Christopher Wirth, and with help this week from Kim Nowaki. Our theme music was written by Hannes Brown and performed by the Outer Borough Brass Band. Keep in touch. You can follow me on Twitter at Kai_Wright. Thanks for listening. Take care of yourselves.